Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Seth, Melissa, and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there. Good things coming up for you, getting some entertainment news in a little bit. But it's a Monday in the 9 o'clock hour, and you know what that means, everybody. Tell me something good.
Hello and welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR. Today we're going to talk about an interesting thing that I didn't know about, and that is the labeling on our meat products. Do you guys know anything about it?
A little bit.
Not much, really, I gotta say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you didn't know, let's go back in history just a little bit. And in 2015, our Congress here, repealed the country of origin labeling, which the meat industry was using to label things of what country our meat was coming from or meat products. They repealed that. So since then, the meat industry has been allowed to label imported meat repackaged in the U.S., as a product of USA. What are your initial thoughts on that?
Not great. Yeah. That doesn't sound overly safe, you know?
I've worked really hard to not have one of my first instincts be go right to anger, but it makes me go right to anger.
Yeah.
Well, because if you bought something that says product of the USA, You think, okay, for instance, let's say a ground hamburger says product of USA. I mean, you would think, okay, so it was, you know, born, raised, slaughtered, processed here in the United States. Since 2015, that has not been true. That animal could have been born, raised, processed even in Mexico, sent over the border to the U.S., repackaged, and then it could say product of USA on it. So, in 2021, President Biden, his executive order on promoting competition in the American economy, the Department of Agriculture said the increased clarity and transparency provided by this proposed change would prevent customer confusion and help ensure that consumers understand where their food comes from. Now, I pulled this from thefoodsafetynews.com with a couple articles. This one came out in last year, March 7th, 2023, when they started talking about this again. President Biden proposed this rule change in 2021.
Okay.
So, now, the good news is that the this change will come into effect.
Yeah.
Guess what year?
I already looked at
26.
Yeah.
So you know, like let's take a look at the the slow wheels of government as they turn.
Right. Yeah. So that part is definitely frustrating, but I do think that bringing attention to this, making people more aware of it, is going to help in the meantime. Kind of bridge the gap a little bit there. Melissa, another great thing, and thank you so much for sending the articles that you did. This is something that I have actually joked about with my dad for a very long time about these things, about the labels on it. We've bought a lot of ground beef, a lot of meat over the years, like many American families.
Right.
But this is a topic that we didn't know much about, and I really, my dad and I went down a rabbit hole with this one.
Wow.
Just researching a lot of it. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting coming out of the article, including especially the AP one that you sent over, was how this is going to help with the existing rule also penalizes small domestic producers. I thought that part stood out to me too, this should benefit, this should help them as well.
Yes, because their food has always been, you know, our small producers here in the United States, they produce meat that they grow.
Right here.
Yeah.
Right here.
They can't import stuff. Yeah.
No. And they can't compete with these larger, bigger companies that are importing their meat cheaper from these other places and then labeling it as product of USA. Our small processors here can't compete price-wise with that.
No.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Using this product of USA is voluntary, though. Under the new rule, they don't have to put this label on there, but they can.
Right.
But they cannot. And the one, you know, caveat to this change that took place in 2015, the meat that has been labeled as product of USA would still have to have been examined mm-hmm. by
right.
a USDA
inspectors, yep.
mm-hmm. inspector here. Now, maybe this is a bit of a throwback, but remember our conversation about slaughtering mm-hmm. houses and processing plants
right.
several weeks back mm-hmm. and the amount of time that they have to examine each yes. of these products?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, the amount of people, we don't have enough people to check to keep an eye on the infrastructure in this country.
Exactly, yeah.
Let alone this, you know,
right.
that we need more people in these industries. We need more people mm-hmm. in these jobs, need more funding for these right. mm-hmm. positions.
Yep. So according to this article now that's from this foodsafetynews.com titled USDA offers to close product of USA loophole. But not until 2026. That's right. the title. This came out on March 13th of this year. Mm-hmm. So Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack has promised a new system. It won't exist for a couple more years. He rolled it out as a new rule on March 11th for labeling meat, poultry, and egg products that, if born, raised, slaughtered, and processed in the U.S., may be labeled as a product of the USA.
Okay.
So this will not be implemented until January 1st of 2026, which is long after the 2024 general election.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, this also speaks to what we let politicians get away with, like not just all the time, but every year, especially every 4 years around this time. The mm-hmm. idea of one party not making moves, not making bills pass because it benefits them in an election year.
Politically, yeah.
Politically.
Yep.
Like
comes into effect, who's it going to benefit?
The head games that are being played. When did politics become that relationship that you look back on and you're like, man, I really dodged a bullet there. Like, when did that become the thing?
Right.
You know,
I should have noticed those red flags.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Like, it feels like we should have noticed the red flags with our politicians a long time ago, and it's on us. It's on us, you know, at that point. The idea that you can, like, we need to demand, and I mean demand, more out of our politicians. They need to get more mm-hmm. done. They need mm-hmm. to right. work harder. They need to work through vacations like we do. They need to put in the same hours we do. They need to be working their tails off, not for the people, the money in their pockets, not for the people lining their pockets, but for the people that got them the damn job.
Mm-hmm.
Us.
Yeah.
They need to
How
remember
about the same
who their
healthcare?
Boss. They need to remember who their boss is.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
American people.
That's right.
It should be noted as well, the label proposal is open for a public comment before it becomes final.
Yep.
And you've got plenty of time because they don't get nothing done. So you got plenty of time to get those messages to them and everything.
Right, right.
Now, one excuse that they did say, sorry, the excuse that slipped out. Vilsack said implementation won't occur for almost 2 years, so food companies' already labeled products won't suffer economic harm in the transition. And one agriculture expert said the lengthy implementation period raises the possibility that groups opposed to the rule may try to stop it before it starts.
Right.
Now, the National Farmers Union and the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, the U.S. Cattlemen's Association, the North American Meat Institute, NAMI, and the Organization for Competitive Markets, they're supporting this new rule.
Okay.
USDA made some common sense changes to address some of our concerns, NAMI's statement said. We appreciate the adherence to the uniform compliance date for implementation and will continue to support our members in complying with labeling regulations. Hmm. So this is a positive. It is.
Right.
Even
They're
though
on board,
the long yep. process is taking a while, but it's not okay to straight up fool, you know, and mislabel
right.
products.
Yeah.
With I don't know, I don't know. Shaky isn't the right word. Slimy politics.
Shady.
Slimy.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of S words right there.
Yeah.
You can use
yeah.
for that, right?
No. Now I think that in some ways we as consumers are able to counter some of these things and correct them by not purchasing them, and those companies die out or aren't able to make it. But it means something a little bit more here, and companies take advantage of that, and we need to be aware of it. Talking to friends of mine out in Europe, talking to people, hearing from people around the world, buying products like made in China or made in England or something like that, that's not really a thing in other countries. They take some pride in it, sure, but they don't think much about it. Mm-hmm. Here, it matters so much. Here, it means so much. I for a lot of reasons, but a main one is we are still a young country. And I think it gets forgotten sometimes in the shuffle of things and in the way that time just moves so fast and so forward and all as it does. But, you know, growing up in Chicago, we used to get teased all the time that we had a chip on our shoulder because we weren't considered a big city, as big of a city as New York or Los Angeles.
Second
or something
city,
like.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. America is in that position when it comes to the rest of the world. Europe, China, India, these countries have been around thousands of years longer than us. And it's important to remember that and keep that in mind, that we are still a teenager of a country. And so when it comes to some of these things, these, you know, some of the growing pains that we're still experiencing them, we're still going through them. And it's important to have some patience, some, have some understanding, give some grace when it comes to that. And at the same time, get to work. Get to work, politicians. We put you in right. office. We can take you out of office.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, and
yeah,
the, well, and I think that for this particular thing we're talking about here, there really needs to be, it, tying it in with what Melissa said earlier about inspection and food safety, is there really needs to be like a two-pronged attack on this. Mm-hmm. There needs to be, like you said, we need a truth in labeling about exactly where our food is coming from. But at the same time, we need to beef up beef up our inspectors. You know, we need more. Mm-hmm. Okay, how is not eating tainted food? That should be a universal thing.
Yeah,
we don't want to get sick. No one wants that. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure everything is safe, especially what comes, what we can handle in this country, that we process. Okay, no, this is good. This is good stuff. And we know it because we have strong laws that say you have to have good food. No, you know, we have good inspections, that kind of thing. That makes the most sense to me, mm-hmm. anyway.
And not only that, but building up our farmers and our ranchers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, multinational corporations have exploited this loophole to import meat, repackage it,
exactly.
and pass it off as products of that made by USA farmers and ranchers. Mm-hmm. And that's not what, that's not okay.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
Mm-hmm. Joe Maxwell, one other quote here I want to pull from one of these articles. Truthful labels protect consumers and keep the playing field fair. That's Joe Maxwell, president and co-founder of Farm Action. He said, mm-hmm. and this was published last year, after a 5-year fight, we're pleased to see the USDA stepping up to stop the cheaters and picking the pockets of America's farmers and ranchers.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Well, that's a good one.
It's a good quote.
And a great segment, Melissa. Thank you so much for bringing that to our attention. And another amazing segment of The Kitchen's Open. Appreciate you.
Woo!
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We'll have another Kitchen's Open segment for you soon. Be listening for that. And, of course, be listening for some more great new stuff, great stuff coming up in this hour. Good things on the way right here on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Tell me something good.
One, two, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. But it's that right, so
welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio, rocking into the entertainment segment here. Melissa, Seth, and James. I don't know about you guys. I think that still holds up. I think that song still holds up. I think it's still a decent song.
It is. Can dance to it.
I'd love to hear a remake of that, but by one of our heavier bands. Like, you know, what a really, really like.
I want a jazz remake of it.
Ooh, I like that.
Nice.
Ooh, yes. Alison Krauss maybe doing that. Something like that. I think that'd be fun. Yeah. Robert Plant and Alison Krauss doing Rock Around the Clock.
Country remake of it.
That would be cool. A little bluegrass. Yeah.
So it turns out Seinfeld wasn't a show about nothing. It was about money. So much money that Jerry is now a billionaire. The most of his fortune came from this show. Mm-hmm. Yes, Jerry Seinfeld over the weekend was announced is a billionaire. He's also made more than $100 million from touring since the 1980s and owns $40 million in real estate. The estate assumes that Jerry invested his money beginning in 1990. Jerry's rep called it inaccurate, but didn't say how much Jerry is actually worth. Now, why are we talking about this? Why is this noteworthy and everything? This is a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
This is a stand-up comedian, man.
Well, he actually worked for his money.
Right.
He sure did.
Thank you, Melissa. Yes, again, I am so sorry, but you get it. Yes. This is the American dream. This is an American. This is somebody who worked his tail off to get to this point. Did he do it in blue-collar factories? No, I'm not saying anything like that. And I'm not at all saying that it's on the same level of that.
Right.
But it is...
Nobody gave it to him.
It feels like when these things happen, like Jeff Bezos, like the Jeff Bezos story was supposed to be beautiful, was supposed to be this American dream. Look, he started in his garage, man. And look what he did. And look at how big this company. That's the American dream. That's capitalism, blah, 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 blah. Now we hate him. We hate him with everything we are. None of us know him. We don't even know much about him. But what we do know, we dislike it. We can't stand him. And why? Because he's rich and because he made capitalism work. Like, it's funny how this happens, but we get you at some point that you were cheering for you. America dream, you suck. Like it's at some point that happens, you know, and I don't necessarily understand our society when it comes to that, but I get it to a degree. With a Jerry Seinfeld, somebody like this, obviously it's very easy for us to poke holes at this, to make fun of it, to get angry about it and everything. Anybody can do any of those things. How many people are looking at this story and being like, all right, now it's my turn. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to make that happen. Because that's what this means, that other people can do this. Mm-hmm. All it takes is once, and others can do it. Mm-hmm. It's not impossible. I think that's kind of cool. I think that's kind of a cool story.
Well, and again, it's not about specifically about Jerry Seinfeld. Mm. He part of it is he's a very intelligent man. You know, he figured out what he was doing. But who could have predicted when Seinfeld started it was going to be what it was? The show, I mean, the television show. No one could have predicted that.
Not NBC.
No, not at all. and so, I mean, part of it is luck and part of it is just figuring out what people want to see. And that's happened at the time in the 90s. That's what people wanted to see. And they got
people
really
want to see it.
Yeah. And that's why Jerry is so rich. Syndication. It's played, you know, how many local stations play this every single day, have a Seinfeld episode? Yeah, Jerry gets paid for every single one of those because of the royalties on that. And so blaming someone he just did what he was supposed to do, like you were saying, James. You know, he did what I'll do this show. Wow, look, it's popular. Now I'm going to do this with it, syndicated. Wow, it's even more popular now. And so now I'm a billionaire and I'm wrong.
Yeah. I feel
but
like,
how many other things did he do that didn't pan out?
Right.
Exactly.
Know, that didn't make him money. Mm-hmm. So
I think that there's another noteworthy part of this, too, where for those who don't remember, Seinfeld was lucky to get to this point. This show was doing bad in the ratings, and it was an idea that the execs at NBC did not feel great about. They went ahead with it just to give it a shot. They gave them no budget. They had nothing to work with, and they gave the show a couple of months. They gave it a time to grow and build an audience and everything. They didn't just cancel it right away, and they gave a shot. They gave a show a shot that nobody really thought would work.
Yep,
they took a chance, is what I'm saying, people. And entertainment. I hope you're paying attention to entertainment world. You can take chances. You don't have to have the $200 million film that lasts 3.5 hours. You can take chances on things. You just don't know what can happen. You might get the next Seinfeld.
Yep, and which is anathema right now in the entertainment industry. What show is given a chance?
Yeah.
None.
Nothing.
Zero. Zip. Yeah. Heck, you don't give me the numbers in three episodes.
Two seasons. Nope, you're done.
Yeah. And heck, half of these, like, especially when it comes to the streaming, I'll say Netflix in particular. Mm-hmm. There's nothing since I was 7 years old, all I've wanted and fought for and been relentless about is getting this break. If Netflix offers me a gig, I don't know how I feel about it. Because it doesn't even matter if your show's successful on Netflix, they're going to cancel you. So, yeah. I mean, you know, you think about what this show has done, Seinfeld. It's really impressive. And
it is
impressive.
And I don't
know if we're ever going to see something like that again. It's weird.
I'd be surprised. Very surprised.
We might be seeing another Happy Gilmore. In the era of sequels and reboots, this news is not surprising, but Adam Sandler is reportedly working on a script for Happy Gilmore 2. The first one came out in 96. Christopher McDonald, or Shooter McGavin, who he plays Shooter McGavin, a great character actor.
I love Christopher McDonald.
So good. He's
great.
He's so good. He says Adam showed him the first draft of the script a few weeks ago. Quote, McDonald, you're going to love this. I thought, wow, that would be awesome. So if it works, fans demand it. Dang it, demand it. It's unclear if it's part of Adam's deal with Netflix. The platform declined to comment. So I'm guessing that it probably isn't. I think this is something he's working on for his project after Netflix. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes.
About 20 years after the original.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Is he? I'm not sure where he's at with his. Because I know they signed him for a number of movies to make.
Yeah.
Where is he in that
he's
contract?
Gotta be
I don't even
up.
Know.
That's
he's got to be close.
Up pretty
yeah.
soon now. Yeah. And more power to him. I don't know. I get a little bit like we've talked about how tired we are of remakes, prequels, and all that. The younger people have really come out in droves about this and said, we're done with this. We're done with this.
Yeah.
I think it's. I feel like it's a little different. They'll decide, but mm-hmm. I think it's a little different when we're talking about comedies. Like comedies, we don't take as seriously, and I feel like a sequel to that is just, you know, for fun. It's just for. It's not. It's just for nostalgia and fun's sake. I don't see a big issue or getting bent out of shape about it. When it comes to dramas, it's a little bit heavier.
Right.
I think it takes a little bit more.
Well, and it's also, I actually just did the math, it would be closer to 30 years after the originals.
Wow.
Original.
Right. Wow.
So people who went to the, you know, who, if this comes out in, you know, the next year or two, people going to the theaters to watch it, young people, a lot of them maybe wouldn't have even seen the first one.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, James and I were talking something similar last week, I think, when we talked about the sequel thing, and we also tied into that. The comments that were made at the Academy Awards, you know, like, why can't we do, you know, $10 million instead of $100 million on one movie?
Yeah.
This is different. This is a inexpensive comedy film that, yeah, if it succeeds, whatever. You know, it's kind of a fun thing for, it sounds like, for Adam Sandler. He's like, yeah, let's do this kind of thing. The stakes aren't that high.
Mm-hmm.
You can do this kind of stuff, and it's okay. We don't have to do, you know, I think we're pushing back against the $150 million sequels, you know, the $200 million sequels.
Yes.
And that's what people are getting sick of. This is not much, really, in the scheme of things.
And I think if he was smart, he wouldn't call it Happy Gilmore 2.
Yeah.
He'd call it something completely different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That way, when people go to see this, they're not like, well, I got to watch the first one first, you know, or I got to know what it's about. They would go watch it, not knowing anything about the first one, and then at the end be like, wait, there was a first, there was another one? Let me watch that one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they'd go rent it.
Sadly, no Bob Barker.
Yeah, that
to reprise his role.
That part, you know, is going to be a little sad. Maybe I'll have Drew Carey do it.
Maybe
something like that. Like that.
That
I don't
would
know.
Be a funny time.
That would be good.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. I don't know if you guys could hear that or not. I was just trying to take a drink of my cup out of my cup, my What the Muppet cup that I just got this weekend. I apologize. That's really tacky of me. How lame of me to just accidentally mention that I have a coffee cup with the logo What the Muppet on it that you
it's
can
true.
Get on Etsy. I am so sorry I did that, everybody. It's a Muppet Monday, and I do want to remind everyone, we dropped a new episode of What the Muppet, the wonderful podcast that my daughter Bree and I work on so hard. Bria does an amazing job on this one. And every episode you get to do with your daughter is special. This one we actually call the one we've been waiting for. This is one of our biggest episodes. This was one of our funnest episodes.
All right.
We had a blast with this one, and it's a really unique and special one. Appreciate you checking it out. Go ahead and wherever you get your podcast, download What the Muppet, and be sure to check out the YouTube page What the Muppet. It's a lot of fun.
This just proves that your show is random. Because you, if like any other show that you like would have done this the one first.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, absolutely.
So, but now it's what, episode 40, whatever, or whatever
yeah,
you're
34.
At? 34.
34. Yeah.
34.
Wow.
It's been a blast. Bree and I have been working really hard on this for months and months and months. We realize we have not been hanging out very much, so we got together this weekend and watched a movie. First time we've gotten to watch a movie together, by the way. That was really fun.
How about that?
It does not matter how old your kid is. Watching a movie with your kid always amazing.
It is fun.
And when we were doing that, we were talking about how much fun we've been having this and how great it's been with the listeners and her Etsy page. She created an Etsy page with a bunch of shirts and this coffee mug and stickers on there of What the Muppet with the What the Muppet logo. She did a really good job with this, everybody. If you are curious, if you'd like to support her, like to support the work that we're doing, if you just want some fun new shirts, go ahead and check it out on Etsy. Just type into your search bar on Etsy What the Muppet. It'll pop right up. And a big shout out to Bree. She did a great job.
I think she may have a new career at the end of this. You know, whenever the show wraps up, if it whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She could be a consultant to how to do like podcasts and then merchandising
so right,
it
man.
And stuff. She's got it all set up now, man. She can just tell she can hire herself out to let people know how to do it.
I know that it comes across as biased because of my position with this and everything. It doesn't mean I'm wrong. She isn't good at this.
No,
she's
really good
at
this.
All this is grassroots. She doesn't have any help. She doesn't have anybody. I mean, I'm barely help. It's me. You guys know me by now. I have a. I'll ramble. I'll say a bunch of stuff, but that's about it. She does such should work on this. You're not only supporting and having fun with it, but you're supporting a local artist. You're supporting a Wisconsinite. And you're have some fun with it, everybody. And
I'm sorry.
Plus, it's entertaining.
You have a new nickname, James Barely Help Maloff.
Yes. It works for me.
It's a work in progress.
James Rambles Endlessly Maloff.
It's not a bad one. It doesn't fit on my sheet. That was bad. I was trying to think of my cards.
Your business card.
Social Security card.
But my might as well. Is the way I'm sounding here. I might want to find that.
AARP call.
Yeah.
That would be a lot to write in, though, when you're going to write in on your presidential election campaign.
It's the whole reason I don't run for politics. It's a
really long nickname.
That and Maloff's hard to spell. It's not easy. We have some great stuff coming up for you throughout this hour. Keep in mind, everybody, at 9:50, we're going to have Jeff Penscover join us, Wisconsin Rapids Alderperson District 4 candidate, as we continue our candidate series. Mm-hmm. And want to remind you, of course, of the Civic Media Ride in the Spring Text to Win statewide contest. Your chance to win Chula Vista Getaway, as well as grand prizes, include a brand new bike, this amazing blender, patio love seat. Be listening every day from now until the 29th at the 7 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and 3 o'clock hours. We will give you a special keyword. You download the Civic Media app, choose your local radio station, and then text that word to us, and you're in on the running.
You got it. Easy peasy.
Four chances a day.
That's right.
You should be listening to us all the time anyway.
Yes, you should.
You might as well. Might as well play along. Yeah.
Why go through all the hassle of flipping radio stations back and forth and everything? Just keep it right here.
On the Civic Media app, you never get out of range.
That's true.
Yeah, you'll be able to take us with you wherever you go. We're going to go to break, check in with our news. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host James behind the mic, joined by Melissa and Seth. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Got a fun one to get into in just a moment. Do want to remind everybody, we just got a note here from our friends over at Focus. It was a difficult decision, but due to poor road conditions this morning, Focus will be closed today. Please keep that in mind, everybody. And if you know anybody that uses the services at Focus, let them know. Spread the word. Help them out if you can. Mm-hmm. Big, big thank you to our friends over at Focus and all the vital work that they are doing in our community. And a thank you to Aaron Wells and our friends at the ADRCCW. They let us know late last night that they are senior dining and Meals on Wheels are closed for today. So once again, if you know anybody who uses those services, please check in on them, see how they're doing, and make sure that everybody's doing all right out there and everything.
Yeah.
We appreciate that, everyone.
Today's a good day to make a big pot of soup.
Yes.
Yeah, good day for
that. I was going to say chili, but, similar.
Chili, soup, whatever. Yeah.
You can't go wrong, either one. We had this topic we are going to do the last week Melissa was with us, and we weren't able to do it, so I've hung on to it, and we're finally going.
You saved it for two whole weeks?
Yes, I did, because it's a fun one. The 10 most nostalgic snacks of all time.
That's a good one.
What's your favorite snack from your childhood? Here in 2024, some of these you might wish are still around. Some of them are still around. So let's go ahead, and this isn't in any particular order. They're just kind of here, so we'll go ahead and go right down the list. But we do want audience participation. Many, many years ago, we made sure that everybody out there in our listenership had a play-at-home version of the morning show.
We did.
So you can call up anytime, 424-2600, 715-424-2600. Of course, if you're listening on the Civic Media app, you're just a touch or two away from calling up and joining the conversation. We want your favorite snacks, your favorite snack as a kid. What was your favorite snack
as a kid?
That's a
good one.
Dunkaroos, were that one of them?
Holy jeez.
They're one you could still get. They got discontinued in 2012, but General Mills brought them back in 2020.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a good one. Yeah, I remember those. Yeah. Let's see what you remember. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Yeah, as a kid, I remember I loved Three Musketeer bars.
Oh, those are my favorites, too.
Oh, such a good one. That's a great one. Yeah. And thankfully, still around, too.
Yes, still very popular, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are good. Good one, sir. Good one. Thank you for the call. That's a good one.
They're also good frozen.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right. Oh, I never tried it with a whole one, just like the mini ones. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they are. Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. Oreo Cakesters. Like Oreos, but softer. Basically, a whoopie pie.
Oh, yes, I remember those small ones. Yeah, like a small pie, right, yeah.
Nabisco brought them back in 2022. I don't know if they discontinued them since then or not, but they did bring them back for a little while. Bagel Bites. They never went away except in Canada. Our friends up north haven't been able to get them for the past 2 years.
Oh, yeah. They're like little pizzas.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, my gosh. Yeah. Are they upset about that in Canada?
I'm curious.
I don't know. Do we have any Canadian listeners can tell us? Yeah. I don't know.
How about, this is a good one. Fruitopia.
Oh, I remember those. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Was a line of fruit-flavored drinks Coca-Cola put out in 1994. They stopped selling them in 2003.
Well, they lasted that long. Almost 20 years. Wow.
Fruitopia, man. I forgot about
I do
that.
Remember that, though.
I don't think I ever, maybe once or twice, tried that.
I don't know if I ever tried it. I just remember the commercials.
I don't think I ever had it. I definitely remember trying Crystal Pepsi.
Oh, no.
It debuted.
Clear Pepsi.
It debuted in 92 and bombed almost immediately. It's still got some diehard fans out there. They brought it back for a limited time in 2016, 2018, and for the 30th anniversary in 2022.
I got to tell you, again, this is ad things. I tried Crystal Pepsi. Wasn't very good. But it's the, I cannot associate, I cannot disassociate a certain song they had on the ads with Crystal Pepsi right now.
Oh, that's right.
So every time I hear that song, all I think about is Crystal Pepsi. Thanks a lot, by the way.
That's funny.
Yeah,
I think a lot of the reason that it doesn't taste the way you expect it to, because it doesn't look the way you expect it.
Absolutely.
Because the taste is probably, if you did a blind taste test, you probably wouldn't be able to tell.
No. Again, they changed the ads because it didn't taste exactly like Pepsi. So that people were like, this doesn't taste like Pepsi. And they're like, oh, no, it wasn't supposed to. No. It wasn't supposed to taste just like Pepsi. No, it tastes different.
It, Coca-Cola had the new Coke thing. Yep. Pepsi had the clear Pepsi thing. I remember at the time people wondering if the companies would fold because of these things. That's how damning they were. That's how damaging they were and stuff. Obviously, it looks silly in hindsight, but I do remember those headlines. I do remember stuff like that. That's
interesting. The biggest flop in soft drink history.
It's the water world of drinks. Like, it really is. It's a huge bomb. Kudos granola bars. Discontinued in 2017. They are basically candy bars masquerading as a health snack.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Similar to Fruitopia,
Very fake. Yeah. Nothing good about them.
Orbitz drinks.
Yes.
Flavored water with little edible balls floating in it. They came out in 96, immediately flopped, and were done by 98.
I remember those, though. I think I had one
I
or two of them.
I remember those, too. Mm-hmm. I think I did, too, because it was so weird.
Yeah.
I had to try it.
Everyone tried it, and then they were like, nah, I'll pass.
Yeah.
No. If you really want floaty bits in your drink, get coconut water.
Yeah. Orange juice with pulp. I don't know. Waffle crisp cereal.
Yes. I had cereal. It. That was actually a good cereal.
Too. I like that cereal, actually.
It was a good cereal.
I liked it, too. We all liked it. All right. Hey.
Why'd it go away, then?
Exactly. Yeah. It came out in 96, got discontinued in 2018, but Post brought it back in 2021.
Oh, the outcry. One of their waffle crisp, man.
Rice Krispie Treats cereal. They came out in the 90s but got pulled from the shelves at the same point. Someone launched a petition on change.org in 2019 to bring them back. Around 30,000 people have signed it.
Trying to get the Rice Krispie Treats cereal back.
Okay. Yeah, right. I know.
Add a little more sugar to our breakfast cereal.
Melt marshmallows? I don't know. Yeah, you could probably make it yourself.
Melissa, that's change.org, in case you were wondering, and you wanted to hit up Taco Bell if you wanted to.
Start the petition. Do it now.
And the final one on this list is a throwback. Of all throwbacks, I think it might be the best one.
Okay.
Tab. It came out in 63 and was one of the first diet sodas on the market. It got discontinued 3 years ago. That's incredible. I had no idea. Like, it had to have gone away at some point for a while and then come back before that.
It seems that way. Or was it just so under the radar that we didn't even think about it, maybe? I don't know.
We've talked about it a few times.
Yeah. And I don't say this with pride, but I don't think there's at any stage in my life since I've been able to buy things for myself that I haven't had soda in my diet. And I go to soda aisles all the time, and I could not tell you the last time I saw Tab. So, I don't know.
Now, this leads me to a question. Is TAB an acronym for something? What does TAB mean? Because there's nothing obvious about it being a soda without any sugar in it. It seems to me it's probably an acronym.
It's, not marketed as a diet-free, you know, a diet soda.
Right.
It just says Tab.
Yeah.
One theory behind the iconic name states that Tab is actually an acronym standing for Totally Artificial Beverage, alluding to its controversial recipe, Snoop's report.
Oh.
Yeah.
But there's no... It's concrete official, evidence yeah, on that. It's just a speculation.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Totally or artificial. Was, why would you call it that, though?
Yeah.
Right, that doesn't make that from a marketing standpoint. That doesn't make sense. So, but
it
anyway.
Could also be marketed to consumers who wanted to keep tabs on their weight.
Okay.
Oh,
interesting
yeah,
theory. Interesting
That's
theory.
That's a good okay. one. Yeah. Right. Or can you put it on my tab?
That could be. I mean, they're all legit. I mean, who knows?
Interesting though. Very yeah. interesting. Huh. That's an interesting one. Hmm. we will come back actually, you know what? We're going to keep going here because we're going to go to break in a moment so that we can just go right to the top of the hour with our candidate. So we'll have that coming up okay. for you at 9:50. So let's get to That Ain't Right story in. And this is a doozy. This is one for the ages. This would be a cute idea from a kid. Not so cute in the eyes of the law. The California Highway Patrol posted to let people know imaginary friends don't count in the carpool lane.
Oh, no.
California has fast track monitors. You set yourself according to how many people are in the car. If you set it to 2 or 3, you get a discount on tolls. Some guy was using the express lane near San Francisco last Wednesday, and when his monitor scanned through, it said he had 3 people in the car, but a cop saw him driving alone and pulled him over. He had a t-shirt wrapped around his passenger seat with a bucket hat on the head seat.
Oh, God.
So that's passenger number 2. But there was no passenger 3 at all, so we didn't even bother to try that. The Highway Patrol posted an image set to the song You Got a Friend in Me from Toy Story. And they said, quote, imaginary friends don't count as occupants when setting a fast track transporter. Yesterday, the driver thought he could go, he could outsmart the officers on the patrol, but failed. The standard fine was setting is about $238.
Whoa.
Oof.
Mm-hmm. That's
not worth it.
No, totally not worth it.
Yeah. Now, your imaginary friend ain't helping you pay you that, know, by the way.
We occasionally do stories like this of people trying to, you know, game the carpool lane or whatever thing like that. All it makes me feel sad.
Yeah.
Because are these people don't have any friends? They have to come up with these weird, yeah. you know, things to try to get into the yeah. express lane. It's, I don't know. This makes me a little sad.
I tend to think of I love the idea. Say this person's, you know, setting this up in a standard, you know, in neighborhood, a little, you know, cul-de-sac or something. Mm-hmm. It's 6 a.m. and you look over at your neighbor's house and you see him in his driveway setting up a fake person. Like it is like and he's trying to get it right. Make sure, hey, is the hair right? You know, he's trying to get all set up. You're just sitting there drinking your coffee, just watching this. Yes. Like, man, is it really going through all of the setup?
Exactly,
that it must
the
take?
Effort.
How much time do you really save on the road if it's taking you all that time to set up this fake person? Like, what are we doing?
Well, and Seth, maybe it speaks to why they don't have any friends, because they're dishonest.
Yeah, maybe that's yeah. it. Mm-hmm. That's they just lie to everybody.
It's all coming together.
There. It is.
We are going to continue our candidate series when we come back. Wisconsin Rapids Alderperson District 4 Representative Jeff Penscover is going to join us. Looking forward to talking with Jeff. I do want to wrap up with you two, though. Thank you so much for a great show, you guys. Mm-hmm. Fantastic to have you back, Melissa.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Good to be back.
I will reluctantly admit that. It's good to have her back. So,
I win.
Have a great day, you two.
You too, man.
You too.
And we'll be back with more of the morning show coming up right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to Mornings here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Have your host, James J. Maloff, with you right now. And we're going to continue our candidate series. What we've been doing for the last couple of weeks is welcoming on all of our local candidates in our candidate series, interviewing them, asking them a handful of regular questions that we ask all of the candidates, and then kind of moving on and letting you get to know these guys a little bit better. Right now we have in with us Jeff Penscover, Wisconsin Rapids Alderperson District 4 Representative. Jeff, thanks for being here.
Yeah, I appreciate it, James.
Jeff, one of the things that we are using with this time is trying to encourage more and more people to be in the public service, be on boards like yourself, run for office like yourself. So that's the essence of my first question. How have you enjoyed this experience?
Well, this has been new for me. I got put on the Wood County Board 2 years ago. I was appointed by Lance Plimmel, and I kind of got the scheme of things pretty quick. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to me, the procedures, the way people operate. And I kind of thought that the city could use a little bit of a boost in our area over there. I think sometimes an alderman needs to listen more to his constituents, you know, stay a little bit more in touch with them and focus and hear what they got to say. And I just didn't feel that the constituents were being represented as good as they should have been over in our neck of the woods.
Jeff, next question. What do you see as an alderperson's responsibilities?
An alderman's responsibility is to listen to the constituents, to get their message across the city hall. Communication is very important for an alderman, not only with the constituents, but with the department heads and some of the business leaders, I think, in town are left out of the mix. It's my intention, if I do win, to tap in to some of this existing talent we have and meet with some business leaders and get some of their ideas. They're kind of the movers and shakers, and just see what we might be missing and not to miss any opportunities for Rapids.
Jeff, how do you plan to include the community in decision-making as an alderperson if elected?
If I get elected, what I'm going to do is hold listening sessions. We happen to live directly across from Robinson Park. Three, four times a year, we're probably going to rent the shelter house there and just sit over there and put it out on social media that we're there and listen to people. Come on over, sit down, have a hot dog and a soda, and just kind of make a small picnic out of it and find out what their thoughts are, what could be better, what they like, what they don't like. You know, kind of a different idea, but I'm all for it.
We're speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Alderperson, District 4 Representative Jeff Penscover. And Jeff, what distinguishes you from other candidates?
I've been a small business owner here in Rapids for about 20 years. Me and my wife have owned 10 rental properties. We kind of call it Jeffy Enterprises. My wife does not like that name, but that's between me and her. Like I said, I'm a Wood County Board Supervisor, so we kind of can mix the county with what the city does and come up with some solutions. I've been for 35 years, I worked for Bridgestone as a sales manager, troubleshooter. We sold a lot of the big tractor tire stuff, serviced it and that. And that's kind of juggling a ball, too. You got people coming and going, and we've kind of got a management style that does seem to work. Yeah.
Jeff, final question for you, and then we'll let you get back to your day. Appreciate the time. Why should voters cast their ballot for you? Any final thoughts?
I'm a newcomer to politics. I've been on the board for 2 years. I think sometimes, James, people need a fresh set of eyes on stuff. Not to say that I'm going to solve a lot of problems, but I'm going to work with the economic director, Kyle Kearns, just to see what we can do to get some business coming to town here. Kyle's been doing a great job. Shane Blazer has been doing a fantastic job. And we got to build upon what they've got going over there. The announcement of the new Petco store coming in is great news. And they got the ball rolling, and I intend to work with them and keep it going.
Appreciate the time, Jeff. Thanks so much for joining us. Wishing you well out there.
Okay, appreciate it, James. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you again for the time. And a big thank you to all of our candidates for joining us throughout this candidate series. People like Jeff and many, many other people out there like yourselves are your neighbors, are your fellow colleagues out there. And we appreciate more and more people being involved in public service, and we appreciate you being informed when you get out there and vote April 2nd. You can find out all the information you need to know at myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. Encourage you to go ahead and bookmark that page. Find out about where you can, if you are registered to vote, where to vote. Find out more about your candidates. You can even track your ballot at myvote.wi.gov. Encourage you to do so, everybody. We are going to take a very short break. We'll come back and we'll have a little bit more fun here on the morning show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Your host, James, here, and just got a minute or two left to wrap up the show. Want to remind you, we got great stuff on our Civic Media Dial throughout the whole day today. Stick around for Matt and Air on the Air, the amazing show with the amazingly voiced Jane. Go ahead and check that out. We're looking forward to that one coming up in just a little bit. Also, got some good stuff on the Radio Dial a little bit later tonight, sports-wise. Be sure to join us for Playmakers from 3 to 4. We're going to have a great one for you today. Tyler Miller from the Rafters is going to join us in part one. We'll have head coach and GM Coach Paul Peckman joining us in part two at around 3:30. And we'll be taking your phone calls, of course, 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation for Playmakers. We're going to have some fun. Keep in mind that our friends over at Focus will be closed today. So if you know anybody who uses those services, please spread the word about that and help out if you can. And the ADRC, their Meals on Wheels and senior dining are both canceled for today as well. Help out those that you know that are using those services and reach out to your local neighbors and friends and family. Be reaching out to us, everybody. Reach out to us and let us know about your organization's Easter egg hunts. We want them. Let us know so we can spread the word about them on the air here. Just call our front desk, 424-1300, and we'll hear from you. And keep on listening, because just in moments, the Ride into Spring Text to Win statewide civic media challenge is going on. This fun promotion we're doing, we're at the top of the 7, 10, 1, and 3 o'clock hours. We're going to give a special keyword for you to text to us. That's all coming up for you right here on...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.